Hi, my name is Adina Schmidman, founding director of the OU Women's Initiative. Thank you for being a part of our Torah programming. Join me this Wednesday, May 25th and Thursday, May 26th in appreciating, supporting, and expanding the Torah programs offered by the OU Women's Initiative. Programs that you enjoy, like Torah Imecha Nachyomi, Torah Imecha Parsha, Rosh Chodesh Lunch and Learn, Counting Towards Sinai, Ideas and Inspiration, the Max and Yeti Mandir Aleihem HaShalom Elite Virtual Beit Midrash, and more. You can contribute early and jumpstart our fundraising campaign by going today to ou.org/women22. Join me in transforming women's Torah learning. And now for today's presentation.
Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Baum, and today we will be learning Parshas Bechukosai. Parshas Bechukosai includes one of the two sections of the Torah known as the Tochacha, the rebuke, chastisement, or admonition, which are the warnings of the curses that will befall Klal Yisrael if they do not listen to the ways of the Torah. This Parsha, Parshas Bechukosai, contains the shorter of the two Tochacha passages in the Torah, whereas Parshas Kisavo and Sefer Devarim goes through the klalos, the curses, more extensively. However, the entire parsha is not dedicated to Tochacha, and the parsha actually starts off with the promises for blessings for when we do follow in the ways of the Torah. The pasuk starts off and says, "In bechukosai teilechu, ve'es mitzvosai tishmoru, va'asisim osam. If in my laws you will go, and my commandments you will guard, and you will do them." Hashem goes on to say how the rain will fall, the crops will grow, peace and prosperity will abound. It's only after does the Torah describe in detail the curses that will befall us if we do not go in the ways of the Torah. This is where the Baal Kore, the one who reads the Torah in shul, usually lowers his voice. He reads the psukim quickly as to not dwell on the curses. After these passages, the parsha ends off, and thus so does Sefer Vayikra, with the Inyan with the topic of Erechin. That's the topic of value. If someone pledges his or someone else's value, known as Erechin, to the Beis HaMikdash, how does that translate monetarily? Meaning, what is he required to actually pay based on whose Erechin value he pledged? And it's with this last short topic of Erechin that Sefer Vayikra ends. These psukim is actually what Maseches Erechin in the Gemara is based on, in which the Gemara describes the details of all of these halachos regarding the monetary value of people in relation to how much a person actually has to pay regarding his pledge to the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. So on the one hand, it seems Sefer Vayikra ends on a somewhat depressing, sobering theme. After nine parshios detailing hundreds of mitzvos pertaining to the karbanos, avoda, and general life, Hashem warns us, if you follow these, all will be good. But if you do not, the results will be catastrophic. However, if we better analyze the last inyan in the Sefer, the topic of the various monetary values of people, we will see that in fact the Sefer ends off on a more positive note, and one that includes a reassurance of Hashem's constant love for us. So let's discuss. The first question to ask is, why of all topics does Erechin, the monetary equivalencies of people, is the one that follows the Tochacha? And together, it's the Tochacha, the rebuke, and Erechin that complete the entire Sefer Vayikra. So the commentaries explain that after reading through all of the horrible punishments that will come our way if we sin, a person can become depressed, discouraged, feel worthless. Therefore, the Torah reminds us through the inyan of Erechin, which teaches us about our value, albeit monetarily, that no matter how low a person falls, he still has value. Nobody is worthless despite any mistakes he may have made. It's interesting to point out that the curses are referred to as the tochacha, the rebuke. Rebuke usually implies that something was already done and now we're being reprimanded for our past deeds. However, the tochacha in this case is really a forewarning. We have yet to deserve all of these punishments, but rather we are being warned what will happen if we do indeed stray from the proper path. Perhaps the reason then as to why we refer to the warnings as the rebuke, as the tochacha, is to remind us of an important lesson when it comes to any rebuke or criticism that we endure on a personal level. Being criticized hurts. When someone points out our failures or mistakes, even if we can objectively agree that we did mess up, it can leave us feeling like failures, worthless, valueless. However, the Torah is reminding us, through the juxtaposition of the tochacha and Erechin, that we must always remember that klapei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it comes to God, every person has value, no matter what failings or misdeeds they have committed. In fact, the topic of Erechin starts off with the following pasuk. Hashem tells Moshe, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish nation, va'amarta aleim, and say to them, ish amen, ki yafli neder, when he explicitly promises something, be'erkecha, regarding the value of a person, nefashos la'Hashem, regarding the values of a person to Hashem. The Beis Yisrael points out that it would have been more grammatically correct to write, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish nation, va'amarta aleim, and say to them, ish amen, ki yafli neder la'Hashem, when he explicitly promises a promise to Hashem, be'erkecha nefashos, in the value of a person, this is how it should work. But rather, the pasuk says, ki yafli neder be'erkecha nefashos la'Hashem, when he promises a promise regarding the values of people to Hashem. So the Beis Yisrael explains that the Torah intentionally puts the name of Hashem next to the word nefashos to teach us that even after we sin and are forced to endure the punishments as enumerated above in the Tochacha, we are still nefashos la'Hashem. We are still souls to Hashem, and therefore we are still valued and loved. We can build on this concept through a beautiful thought in a pasuk in Tehillim. Perek Nun, the 50th Perek in Tehillim, speaks about the rebuke, the musr, the tochacha given to those who sin and don't do proper tshuva. Pasuk Chaf Aleph in Perek Nun tells us as follows. Eila asisa, if you do these things, Hashem says, v'hecherashti and I am silent, I do not punish you. Dimisa heyos eheye kamocha, you would think that I am like you. Therefore, the pasuk says, ochichacha, I will rebuke you, ve'ercha le'enecha, and I will set the matter before your eyes. Hashem says, if you sin and I don't punish you, you would think that I, God, am like a person, that I forgot to punish, that I couldn't be bothered to punish, that I was too busy to punish you. Therefore, the verse continues, ochichacha ve'ercha le'enecha, I will rebuke you and set the matter before your eyes, meaning you will have to confront your actions and be punished. However, in Hashem expressing his displeasure, the word ve'ercha, and I will set, is used. The lashon of erech, as in erechin, besides for meaning arranged or set, also means value. Therefore, homoeutically, perhaps we can read the verse as follows. God says, if I fail to act when you did these things, you would think that I am like you. And really, that is the case. We are similar in that every person is a chelak eloka mima'al, formed in the image of God, and therefore you have inherent innate value. And since you do have that value, it's for that reason that I will punish you, because I want the best for you, and I want you to be your best. Therefore, because I deem you worthy, that's why I will punish you. In Kisavu, at the end of the more extensive Tochacha passage, the pasuk finishes off and tells us, Eile divrei habris asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. These were the words of the bris, the treaty that God commanded Moshe. A treaty, by definition, implies two parties of equal value. A bris, a treaty, cannot be imposed by an authority onto someone of lesser value, since that's not a treaty, but rather more of a commandment. The idea, again, is this concept that Hashem sees us as having innate everlasting value, that we are kiviyachol equal, and it's because we are worthy that we are zocha, that we merit to enter a treaty with God, that in the event that we do mess up and commit sins, that we are deemed worthy enough to be held accountable. The pasuk that comes right before the Tochacha in our parsha in B'chukosai teaches us this lesson as well. In describing the peace, the prosperity, and closeness that will come as a result of us following the ways of the Torah, the pasuk tells us, "V'nasati mishkenei besochachem, I will put my dwelling place among you, v'lo sigal nafshi eschem, and I will not be disgusted with you." Interesting, why in the same verse as Hashem promising to dwell among us, is he also letting us know that he will not be disgusted by us? What is this pasuk teaching us? The Shemin HaTov explains that Hashem is reassuring us. As close as we will be in the good times, there will be times when we will not be close and I will need to punish you. However, keep in mind that however far you drift and whatever punishments come your way, I will never, ever be disgusted with you. You are still my children whom I love and cherish. We can take this idea one step further and derive an important and fundamental lesson for those on the giving end of tochacha, such as parents or educators. The pasuk in Mishlei tells us, "Al tochach leitz, do not rebuke a scoffer, pen yisna'echa, for he will hate you. Hochach lechacham, but reprove or rebuke a wise man, v'yehevacha, and he will love you." The pshat is, of course, the idea that giving rebuke to a letz, one who tends to be cynical, to scoff at everything, it will never work. It takes a wise person to be able to accept criticism, to accept rebuke. However, the Ralbag points out the difference between the word tochacha, used in the first part of the verse, and hochacha, used in the second part of the verse. Tochacha, says the Ralbag, is direct rebuke, to tell someone what they did wrong. You did X, Y, and Z, and it was wrong. Hochacha, on the other end, is to show, to demonstrate for someone what they did wrong, to give rebuke in an indirect, demonstrative way. Come, let me explain to you why this action was not the best thing to do. I know you and how amazing you are. Perhaps this action will cause people to think the wrong thing about you. Says the Rabag, if a person gives tochacha, direct rebuke to a leitz, someone who scoffs, forget it. It will never work and he will hate you. Hochacha, on the other hand, an indirect, more wholesome approach to rebuke will prove more effective, even for the letz. And when it comes to a chacham, a wise person, if you give him hochacha, rebuke with heart, in a sensitive, indirect, more wholesome manner, not only will it work, but like the pasuk tells us, v'ye'ehevacha, he will love you for it. He will see that you are trying to spare him the pain and embarrassment of direct rebuke, and he will love and appreciate you because of it. What a profound lesson for those who are tasked with the tremendous responsibility of chinuch, which inevitably involves occasional rebuke. Criticism given indirectly through reminding the person of his innate value and worth is not only effective, but also a vehicle through which to build a loving and lasting relationship. Thank you for learning with the OU Women's Initiative.